Fox News Radio. I'm Ken Duffy.
I have just concluded an informative and constructive discussion with Republican and Democratic leaders about job creation and our economic future.
President Obama once again talking about the need to get the job market going. The president talking about that and a new health care initiative. Fox Radio's Chris Barnes is live in Washington.
Ken, he says he met earlier on job creation with that bipartisan group of lawmakers because
spurring hiring and economic growth are not Democratic or Republican issues. They are American issues.
Urging action on his calls for a new tax cuts on small businesses, more infrastructure spending, and other moves he'd called for yesterday. And on community health care centers he just announced
that we're awarding more than $500 million to 85 centers in more than 30 states.
Saying that will lead to better health for millions of people and new jobs in the health care field, Ken.
Chris, thanks. An intelligence source telling Fox News three Americans with dual U.S.-Pakistani citizenship were detained in Pakistan following a house raid. The U.S. Embassy is aware of it and says it'll have more information about it tomorrow. Rain, snow, ice, you name it, a storm system from the upper Midwest to New England has got it. Following the storm, live in Chicago, Fox Radio's Jennifer Kuiper.
Ken, in several states, including Wisconsin, blowing and drifting snow is a big problem.
I know along our house it's piled up at least 3 to 4 feet high.
Amy Wadawa says schools in Toma are closed, and for her it's a
dig yourself out day and hopefully make it to the store.
Blizzard warnings have covered eastern Nebraska and parts of Kansas and Minnesota, while close to more than a foot of snow has fallen in sections of Iowa and Illinois. The storm is now on the east coast. Ken?
And Jen, just think months from now we'll be putting the winter weather behind us and talking about hurricanes. Colorado State University's annual forecast is out predicting up to 16 tropical storms for the Atlantic hurricane season next year, with up to 8 hurricanes. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Look, I can tell you all the ins and outs of car insurance, but sometimes GEICO surprises even me. Like when it comes to paying your premium. They can automatically debit your checking account or charge your credit card. It's easy, paperless, and I suspect magic. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I know how GEICO can help save you hundreds on car insurance, but all that electronic stuff, poof, off it goes, and you're all good.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Somewhere in America, Zoe Chen on the 11th floor is too hot. Dave Keener on 7 is too cold. And the lights are on in conference room 12, even though no one's been in there since Monday. Siemens controls can regulate temperature and lighting to make buildings more efficient so the people inside are comfortable and the world outside is sustainable. Smart answers save energy, and the 69,000 Americans of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
The Transportation Security Administration says it's actively looking for the person who did it. Somehow, a security manual detailing its airport screening practices was posted on its public website back in March. Parts of it were blackened out, but were easily cleared to reveal the information.
They're continually monitoring the progress of individuals going through airports and other activities. They've got the responsibility themselves to make sure they stick to tight security guidelines.
Airline security expert Professor Kenneth Button at George Mason University. The TSA says the manual had outdated information. Homeland Security telling the Senate that a full investigation is already underway. Banks in Great Britain will pay a price for handing out what the government considers to be excessive bonuses.
It's a tax of 50% on bonuses above about 40 grand. Britain's government calling the tax a one-off, which could raise up to $1 billion to help plug a budget hole left by the bailout. Punishing bankers through their bonus might have populist appeal here, but authorities say there's a serious intent to restrict the high-stakes gambling culture, which some say helped to fuel the credit crisis in the first place. In London, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
The power couple made in pro football in the world of modeling have reproduced again. A newborn baby boy for supermodel Gisele Bündchen and New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who's confirmed the birth of their son. No name given yet to the kid. It's Brady's second child, his first with Gisele. And either it took this person a long time to finish the book, or the person just forgot to return it. Seems to be the latter when it comes to an overdue book returned to Toledo, Ohio's main library after 6 decades. The Napoleon biography was mailed from Beverly Hills, California, with an unsigned letter that read, "I removed this in 1949 and did not check it out. I apologize." And apparently it's been on this person's mind and conscience for some time, those 60 years, also adding in this letter, "Carrying guilt for 60 years now is a terrible thing." I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. And today on the broadcast, we're going to be talking about the subject of global warming, or as I think it's called more common today, climate change. I think when folks realized that the planet didn't seem to be heating up quite the way that they thought it was, they kind of changed the name of the movement and now just call it climate change, a much more general term. Let me just ask you or mention a couple of things. One, any reasonable analysis of the worldview or the worldwide global warming or climate change movement would have to conclude that it is going through a bit of a cool down period the last couple of weeks here at least. Earlier this year, the movement was certainly forecasting nothing but sunny days ahead. It seemed like all the money was rolling in that direction. It seemed like they were really going to steamroll this thing through that's taking place in Copenhagen right now, the Copenhagen Climate Change Summit that's taking place. And so it all seemed like, just sunny days were forecast for the global warming climate change movement. However, recent developments in just the last few weeks, really, and even some that are more recent than that now, have certainly put a bit of a damper on this seemingly unstoppable environmentalist energy. Although there were certainly other signs of skepticism surrounding the reporting of climate change data, the revelation the last few weeks about the content of hacked emails gave critics of the movement the catalyst that they needed to slow this steady march towards this legally binding UN-brokered global agreement that was seeking to take place. And so the whole dynamic here of the climate change movement has changed pace over the last couple of days. And so that's what we want to talk about on the program here today. We want to talk about global warming in general. We want to talk about what's taking place in Copenhagen. We want to talk about these latest developments. All of those things are on the agenda today during our discussion. I want to let you know that you certainly can participate in this conversation as well. We've got the phone line open. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And to help me talk through this issue today on the program, we have Daniel James Devine, who is the science correspondent for World Magazine. Daniel has been writing about this issue out on World Magazine in their print issue, as well as some areas online, some of their web extras and blogs that they have online. Just recently, Daniel wrote, "The deal's off. Hopes grow cold for a landmark climate treaty at Copenhagen." And even this morning I was reading some more articles about this, and according to a couple of the articles that I was reading, it was mentioning that the latest policy folks are saying that the Copenhagen Climate Summit is in a little bit of disarray about some recently released text messages, and then also they feel that they're going to move down any real binding decision to a later time. Well, hopefully that'll be the case, but we'll talk to Daniel about that. Without any further ado, let me welcome Daniel into the program today. Daniel, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
It's been great to read your articles on this particular subject. Would you like to just give us a little bit of a summary for our listeners' sake of what's taking place, maybe a little bit of the impact of what is taking place, and then maybe a couple of the recent developments that have just come out here over the last couple of weeks?
Sure. Yeah, what this is that's going on in Copenhagen is a large conference put on by the United Nations, and it involves about 15,000 delegates from 192 nations of the world, And really the goal of it is to fight global warming, and it's based on the assumption that global warming is going to be causing floods, droughts, and climate change that's going to result in a lot of disasters in different areas and countries around the world. And so because developed nations like the U.S., Europe, United Kingdom have been large contributors to the amount of carbon dioxide in the air because of our emissions from the developments that we have. A lot of the blame of this is being put on us, and so we're expected to pick up the tab to a large extent. And the effect of it is going to be, if they do work out a deal of some sort, and there's some skepticism as to whether that's going to actually happen or not this week or in the near future, what's going to happen is it's going to level the economic playing field of different nations of the world. We're going to be funding poorer nations such as China, India, nations in Africa. We're going to be giving them funds and money to actually adapt to climate change. And at the same time, we're going to be required to lower the amount of emissions that we produce. And the only way for us to do that is to actually cut back how much we're developing and how much we're investing in our own companies and resources. And so no matter how it turns out, the steel is going to be very expensive for America if the Senate does end up ratifying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should mention that even though the president is going there and may ink some sort of a deal, if that happens, it would still have to be ratified by the Senate, which isn't very comforting because, of course, with the Democratic Senate, or the Democrat-controlled Senate, I should say, pretty much I would assume that they would go along with what the president decided to do there, or at least a good portion of them would. And so, I mean, something could happen, but at least we would have some other recourse to slow that down. Now, when we talk about them inking a deal, I mean, there's Lord Monckton, of course, on the YouTube sensation,
right,
that's been on there. By the way, I was in contact with him via email the other day and tried to get him on the program, but he's involved heavily there in what's taking place at Copenhagen, and so it couldn't work out a schedule. But he was saying that, this will be giving away our sovereignty as a nation. I mean, the ramifications of inking this deal through the UN brokered agreement there on climate change would be fairly significant. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be. It's just it'll be crazy how much it's going to cost the United States. And, China has actually surpassed the United States as the biggest emitter. I mean, historically, we have been, and we're still the biggest emitter per capita of carbon dioxide. But it could be also argued that, we've contributed so much to the world in terms of technology and wealth overall, and in an indirect way, lifting many people out of poverty. What's actually happening now is China has agreed to make a certain amount of cuts, not actually reducing its emissions, but reducing what it calls carbon intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that for every dollar of wealth that they produce, measured by their gross domestic product, they're going to cut back the amount of carbon that they've produced with that. In other words, they're going to try to become more energy efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be a great thing, but overall, because of the rate that China's economy is growing right now, their carbon emissions are actually going to continue to increase. And so these countries like China and India are still resisting any kind of carbon caps. But they do expect that of countries like the United States. They're wanting us to put a real physical limit on how much carbon we're releasing into the atmosphere. And that's just going to be very expensive for us, because we're going to either have to scale back the economy or we're going to have to invest in very expensive alternative energies.
Mm-hmm. I think we should mention to people here at the top of the broadcast as well what we're talking about. I mean, what the real rub is the idea about CO2 emissions and whether or not the emission levels of CO2 are primarily man-made. In other words, can we prove, first of all, I guess we could say that CO2 emissions are damaging to the environment, that it would cause some sort of global warming or severe climate change. The second thing would be, can we prove that man is actually adding significant amounts of CO2 to the atmosphere and thus causing a global warming problem? That remains to be seen. There's plenty of other sources for CO2 in the natural world, that things that emit CO2 emissions. And from what I understand from speaking with Michael Ord from Answers in Genesis was on with me, it's like man's contributions to the CO2 that's out there is like, 1% or something. It's very, very low, extremely low, and that there has been no real consensus or proof that we could even do anything at all if we were to try to limit the CO2 emissions. I'm not saying that, we're not interested in doing something about pollution or whatever. I'm saying,
right,
do we really, can we really alter the warming or the cooling of the planet by adjusting our CO2 emissions? Is that a fair assessment? Is the way that you understand it as well?
Yeah, we hear in the news all the time that, there's this consensus, there's a consensus, there's a consensus in the scientific community on global warming. And certainly we can, and we do, add carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. In fact, you and I add carbon dioxide to the atmosphere every time we breathe.
Sure.
And, of course, driving around cars and having developments in companies, we are adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. But the problem is, viewing carbon dioxide as a pollutant when really it's not a pollutant, it's a natural part of the atmosphere. And going back to the whole consensus issue, there's something that's been distributed called the Petition Project, and mm-hmm. people can actually look it up at petitionproject.org. And what it is over 31,000 Americans with science degrees have signed a statement that says that they see no convincing scientific evidence that greenhouse gases will cause catastrophic warming of the Earth's atmosphere or in any way disrupt the Earth's climate. So the idea that there's a consensus of scientists who think that global warming is a real big problem just isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another very interesting report, an important report that was released last June and published by the Heartland Institute. And it functions as an answer to the assessment of the United Nations, which is actually the foundation of the Copenhagen Conference that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what this report concluded, and it was called A Climate Change Reconsidered, it concluded that recent global warming has been predominantly influenced, actually, by natural factors, not necessarily by man. And even further than that, it concluded that warming could in many ways be beneficial, both to humans and certain health effects, and also for plants and wildlife, because actually every time you add a little more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, plants grow more quickly. And there's even some evidence that they're able to withstand droughts in periods of no rain more hardily than they otherwise would. And so adding CO2 to the atmosphere could actually be something that's beneficial for poorer nations, in that it will cause crops to grow better and maybe take care of some of the problems of hunger and poverty around the world.
I saw somebody make a similar argument because it was stated that in 1975, these same scientists, or many of them, were actually predicting that there was going to be global cooling. And so they were trying to avoid an ice age. If CO2 emissions really help out, then maybe we should do something in order to eliminate the global cooling that they were warning us about. about just 20, 30 years ago or so. And so, yeah, good point. Excellent point. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes. Hey, here's some irony for you. I got an article here that says 1,200 limos, 140 jets are at the Copenhagen Climate.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift this year? Why not give a gift with a message of hope that has eternal significance? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's, near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza, and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
The busyness of the Christmas season can distract us from reflecting on its deeper meaning. Nancy Guthrie has put together a helpful collection of Advent readings called Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Published by Crossway, this anthology draws from Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther, John Piper, Randy Alcorn, and many others. Each essay looks at Scripture and expounds on a particular aspect of the Christmas story. This refreshing collection is perfect for gifts or family devotions.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. You know, I just heard a couple of ads there for some great Christmas projects and products that you can get for folks this Christmas season. I want to let you know about another one, of course, is World Magazine. This would be a tremendous gift if you maybe have maybe your son or daughter's family, or maybe for yourself or somebody right there in your own home. This would be great to get this. It's a biweekly magazine, just chocked full of interesting articles and stories and just really good material here. For instance, the current issue is about the Daniel of the Year Award that was just given out by World Magazine, and Stephen Meyer was the one selected for that. Dr. Meyer was with me on the program not that long ago talking about his book called Signature in the Cell. And so I just highly recommend it that you can go out there. You could, if you go to worldmag.com, you can simply click on their subscribe button that's up at the top of the bar. And you click on that and it'll give you all the information about, excuse me, about signing up for a subscription to World Magazine. Also, I wanted to let you know, just before the break there, I had mentioned that the amount of vehicles that were there at this climate change initiative there, I guess, you know, it had something like 1,200 limos are being used at this Copenhagen Climate Summit, along with 140 private planes are there as well. And so I remember seeing one headline that said that they had a bigger carbon footprint than 60 countries put together. I don't know where that one came from. I could never verify the 60 countries, but believe me, it's a lot. And so the irony of it and the hypocritical nature of this, and of course we saw the same thing with Al Gore as well, too, with his particular house is a, you know, chewing up those carbon units left and right, but flying around the world telling everybody else they should turn their heat back. So anyway, just a couple of points there. We're talking today about the subject of global warming, and we're doing so with World Magazine, the science correspondent for them, Daniel James Devine. He's got an article out on World Mag right now called The Deal's Off, talking about how hope is growing cold for this landmark climate treaty that they're hoping for at Copenhagen. So that's what our subject is for today. Let's go to the phone line very quickly, and then we'll come back to our discussion with Daniel. Ron, you're up first.
Hello, I just need a clarification. The gentleman talked about China being a poor country. China owns us, and they have a bulk of the world's gold. How are they being defined as poor?
Yeah, I would imagine I'll have Daniel answer that for himself, but if I took it as being, you know, the citizens of China themselves, maybe the government, you know, is more got the deed to all the stuff that they've bought here in the U.S., but I think the citizens themselves have a very poor standard of living. But let me find out. Go ahead.
I think the thing is there is why would the United States, who is already indebted to them so much, have to pay them money when they essentially own us. You see that?
Yeah.
Because the nation as a whole, by virtue of their government being the federal head, doesn't seem to be a poor nation. So how are these facts being twisted? That's what
Well, you know, Ron, you've just missed out. I guess you have missed the apology tour that has taken place here the last year or so with the president going around and apologizing to the rest of the world for the thing.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that.
Okay. Yeah. If you put it in that context, then you can see clearly how it is that we would have to foot the bill, and you know, other people who actually probably are better financially off wouldn't have to. So,
if the gentleman could respond to how he terms that, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, thanks, Ron, for your question. Daniel, could you hear that?
Yeah, it's a very good question and a great point to bring up. What it is China and India are actually part of something called the Group of 77. Which are a group of 77, what they would call developing nations. Now, some of those nations are very poor. And you're right, China is probably not what we call a poor nation. But because they're all part of this group of 77, they're sticking close together so that they can negotiate from their end of the table at this Copenhagen conference. But, you know, it's a great point that, you know, China does have a lot of power, and as I mentioned before, they have surpassed the United States as the largest emitter of greenhouse gases, and they're just growing at such an exponential rate. It really is amazing. And so what's kind of frustrating to nations like us who are more wealthy and what they call developed is that we're being asked by nations like China to commit to billions of dollars in funding to help China, India, and especially poor nations such as in Africa and island nations who are worried about the water levels rising and being flooded out of existence. They're asking us to commit billions of dollars to those nations in order to help them adapt to climate change and also become more energy efficient. And from my perspective, that seems a little bit unfair and it's just going to cost our economy so much money at a time when jobs are scarce, and that we really need to be rebuilding our own economy rather than sending billions of dollars overseas.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you pointed out, too, Daniel, that, you know, it doesn't seem to balance off very well with the tremendously positive things that we have done around the globe on a continual basis for, you know, the last couple hundred years that we have made tremendous investments in numerous countries around the globe and have sent people there to improve their livelihood and all of these various things. I think, too, from a moral perspective, we're looking at this from a Christian aspect. You know, you start talking about, you know, I was reading one of the articles where one of the fellows was that is a proponent of the climate change change initiatives, this treaty being signed there in Copenhagen there that they're trying to get signed, he was a proponent of it. And, you know, he was bemoaning the fact that, you know, that we were going over to these less fortunate countries and trying to bring electricity out to these people that were out in the bush. And the person that was answering his statement that this was wrong for us to go ahead and do this, that we would only be adding to their carbon footprint, trying, you know, bring them these modern conveniences like air conditioning. And his point was that, you know, they go out 6 hours a day picking up sticks and other material in order to burn these things in these huts so that they can have heat during the cold periods. And he was making the moral argument that, you know, if we have a moral right to do anything, is to help these people to have a higher standard of living. And so now some of these extreme climate change folks are saying that it would be wrong for us to go there and bring these modern conveniences to them. So I think, you know, the whole idea, we got to keep this in context of, you know, the positive things that we can do for people versus, you know, they won't even allow us to look at these modern conveniences now as something that would be helpful to these other countries.
Yeah, you know, experts are estimating that if we do end up funding poor nations any treaty, helping them to adapt to climate change, we're talking in the range of $150 billion a year by 2020. That's within a decade.
Wow.
And couldn't some of that money be better spent doing, you know, what you say, helping countries develop the infrastructure that they need to have cheap and efficient energy, such as electricity and gas?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Something that's proven to help, you know, very tangible in its positive effect it would have upon their daily lives, rather than all of this pseudoscience that's taking place here in smoke and mirrors with global warming. Well, let's talk a little bit about that smoke and mirrors when we come back from the break. I've got to take a very quick one. I went long on the first one. But when we come back, I want to ask you about the emails, the hacked emails, infamous now, and also there's just some later developments about some text, what's referred to as the Danish text that has now been leaked as part of this conference. And I want to talk about that with our special guest today, Daniel James Devine. He is the science correspondent for World Magazines, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
And here we have a serious problem. America is addicted to oil.
This is Roberta Combs, President of the Christian Coalition of America. Former President George Bush was right. America spends almost $1 billion a day on foreign oil, and a lot of that goes to countries that do not like us and harbor terrorists. That puts our national security at risk and pollutes the natural places that I want my grandson to inherit and enjoy. As one of America's largest conservative grassroots organizations, the Christian Coalition of America stands up for family values and national security. I've heard from so many Christian Coalition members that energy is one of the most important issues we face. America is a can-do country, so we've got to take the lead to explore energy alternatives and protect our national security and energy resources. I'd like to ask you to call your senators and tell them to support a Made in America clean energy plan.
Paid for by the Christian Coalition of America.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
This Christmas, help Crossway reach 1 million homes with God's Word. Crossway has designed outreach bags containing an ESV New Testament, a gospel tract, and a personalizable invitation to a Christmas service. This is a perfect outreach program for your church as you partner with believers across the country to share the good news of Christmas. Your church can download free video clips, invitations, and more at goodnewsofchristmas.org. For more information, visit your local Christian retail store or go to crossway.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. A couple ways that you can participate in the program today. Simply call our toll-free number, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, Twitter is up and running. The account is Knowing the Truth. And I also have email up and running as well. That's Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, at knowingthetruth.org. That's Kevin at knowingthetruth.org, and I'll try to work your question or comment into our discussion here today with Daniel James Devine, who is the science correspondent for World Magazine. We're talking about the chilling effect of the truth. We're talking about global warming and climate change. And what does this mean from a Christian perspective? How should we look at these types of things? Well, first of all, we're just trying to establish the truth as to what is being done. I think that's very important. You know, the Bible speaks about a fool judges a matter before he knows the whole of it. You can't judge this situation unless you understand what the facts are concerning global warming. And here's the problem. Global warming, this whole climate change initiative and movement have been highly politicized. And so now that it's been politicized, remember, they get funding money based upon, you know, how they write and peer reviews and these types of things in the scientific community. They get research money allocated to them, like stimulus money. Read into that type of equation there. So, you know, depending on what they say and, you know, how they talk about this issue will depend upon whether or not they get research grant money given to them, which is a large part of their livelihood. And so once you introduce the money into there, all of a sudden the equation changes and it can be politicized very, very easily. Well, here's a couple of examples. I'm going to get Daniel to comment on this, but Daniel, give us a little synopsis of the emails, the infamously now hacked emails that were taken from one of the research centers, and talk to us a little bit or explain what was found in those emails.
Yeah, they came from a place called the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia in the United Kingdom. And what this research center does is studies the Earth's past climate using what they call proxy data. Those would be things like tree rings and ice cores that they study in order to try to reconstruct what the temperature and the climate would have been hundreds of years ago. So thousands of emails from this unit that were exchanged between the colleagues within the unit and with other climatologists throughout the world were hacked or possibly even leaked by an insider. And what they really show is that there is a bias within the climatological community for global warming and a lot of resistance to anyone who would try to be skeptical of the global warming alarmism, even on a scientific basis. And in the most recent issue of World, the Daniel of the Year issue that you mentioned a little while ago, Timothy Lamer has a great article that summarizes what some of these emails were saying. And on some of them, there's some attempts to keep information from being freely available. Britain has a their own version of in what we would call in America the Freedom of Information Act. And that would be a law that requires certain organizations and institutions that the U.S. government funds to make their information freely available to the public and to those who'd be interested. And in one of the emails, the director of the Climatic Research Unit says to a colleague, if they ever hear there is a Freedom of Information Act now in the U.K., I think I'll delete the file rather than send to anyone.
Hmm.
And in another some other emails, some of these guys are also showing that they don't want any kind of criticism coming even from other scientists. And the director of the institute also writes about a scientific journal called the Climate Research Journal. He says, quote, in his email, I will be emailing the journal to tell them I'm having nothing more to do with them until they rid themselves of this troublesome editor. And the editor that he was talking about was one who allowed a skeptical paper to be published.
Hmm.
And so it really does just show that there is a bias in the scientific community for global warming alarmism and a lot of resistance to anyone who'd be skeptical of that.
This is very similar to what Ben Stein exposed in his DVD, Expelled, where in that area he was talking, it still dealt with science and the problem that we have here because of the giving out of research money or the funding of these things that takes place, you know, the grants. But anyways, in that case, he exposed the bias against creationists. And here we're seeing that there is a bias that is against anybody who holds a contrarian view of, who doesn't come to the conclusion. You just mentioned, what was it, 30-some thousand that had signed petitionproject.org? And so a tremendous amount of people hold a different view, but here we find that these people behind the scenes are trying to make them pay the price if they don't follow the piper on this thing. Is that correct?
Right, right. And those who would be skeptical and who would just want to present a different scientific viewpoint that says, warming is not something to be so concerned about and to be hysterical about. Guys who want to offer a perspective like that, or even who want to maybe give a different analysis of past climate data,
mm-hmm.
to show that the warming and cooling of the Earth's atmosphere is something that's normal, not something that's necessarily being driven by man's impact on the environment. Those guys have a hard time publishing in mainstream journals because there is that resistance to that type of perspective.
Hmm. And when you talk about this idea of the hype that's going on in this area, it's just unbelievable. I saw an article the other day with Arnold Schwarzenegger revealing a large picture that a map that had showed San Francisco underwater as a result of global warming. And the statements that were made around the unveiling of this were, this is what's going to happen to us if we don't act on global warming right now. And then of course you've got Al Gore and a lot of folks associated with him making these types of outlandish statements that it may already be too late and we can't reverse all of this. And some of the movies that are out there, these apocalyptic movies that are just pointing to global warming as going to end the Earth as we know it and all of these types of things. So there's a tremendous amount of hype that is associated with this, which I think is really not helping them make their case at all. I think any reasonable people are saying, come on, you're going a little bit much here on this whole thing. And I want to point folks too that Justin Taylor out on his thegospelcoalition.org blog out there has a ClimateGate 101 post in which he lists a lot of these things that we're talking about here today and some great articles on this particular subject that we're talking about. We're going to run to the phone line very quickly. I think John is up next. John, I just got to warn you, I'm about a minute outside of a break, okay?
Okay. I've got a question. Bob Inglis was on the radio a couple you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Inglis was on the radio a couple months ago with Tony Beam, and Bob argued that based on the analysis of ice cores, it represented 600,000 years of global history, that it was obvious. In fact, he seemed to indicate that it was virtually irrefutable that global warming was taking place based on these ice cores. How would this man from World Magazine respond to this? How would you answer that argument?
That's interesting. What do you think about that, Daniel? Have you heard that?
Well, I haven't heard that the particular gentleman talk, but I think there is good evidence that the Earth has been warming within the last decade as compared to some previous decades. But the question is whether or not it's a natural cycle or whether it's something that's being primarily driven by man's activity on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the questionable point that is up for debate right now.
Yeah, one question. It would be the whole debate revolves around the age of the Earth. If the Earth's only 6,000 years old and there was a global flood, what are the implications? And I haven't heard anybody discuss those. So maybe after the break, could you discuss what the implications are if the Earth is only 6,000 years ago and there was a major tectonic and volcanic activity about 4,500 years ago with the flood?
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, then the whole paradigm mm-hmm. falls to the ground.
Yeah, and that's the what Daniel was pointing out to is the real gist of the matter there, John. That nobody's saying that there isn't climate change, that the world doesn't go through these various cycles.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying that first of all, we can't prove that any of it is man-made, and second of all, that the hype associated with a few a temperature rise, even one a verifiable temperature rise, is not as cataclysmic as they make it out to be, that this is part of the normal cycle. Hey, Greenland used to apparently not be under ice, but now it is. So things do change.
Yeah, but if plate tectonics were in view, then Greenland was not up to, either there was some type of canopy theory, or Greenland is not where it once is. Where it is mm-hmm. now is not where it once was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to hear him respond to because I don't hear any global warming scientists, Christian or non-Christian, addressing the issue from a perspective of what if the biblical chronology is right?
Yeah, I don't remember even with I had Michael Ord on. You can look up that broadcast on mm-hmm. the website, but he was with I don't think he's directly with Answers in Genesis, but he works along with them, writes articles mm-hmm. for them. But I don't remember him addressing it either from that particular aspect. But that's an excellent question.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be Daniel's area of expertise here on the program, but that's a great question, and I'll have to see if I can really get somebody who is actually, a scientist, like
mm-hmm.
with AIG, to address it from that standpoint. Good point.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, John. A little note there about Bob Inglis with that, his take on this whole thing. Well, he would know because he went on that junket to the Galapagos Islands. I don't know if you remember that. They did an expose of him and a couple other Democratic senators or congressmen, but he's not Democratic congressman, but he went with them. They went on a little junket there to the Galapagos Islands and all on the taxpayer dollar, flew on a U.S. Military jet. So it was quite an expose that was done. And so he would know. He's been swimming over there, and he could tell us firsthand, what he saw on the Galapagos. Anyways, I digress. We got to take a commercial. Let's go to our final commercial today. When we come back, we'll pick up with our subject that we've been talking about. Been talking about the idea of global warming or climate change, and we've been doing so with our special guest today, Daniel James Devine. He's the science correspondent for World Magazine. You can go out there and check out his articles out at worldmag.com. By the way, if you go out there, there is a search engine. Just type Devine in the search engine. It'll take you to all his articles. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift this year? Why not give a gift with a message of hope that has eternal significance? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
Nothing is sweeter than the sound of the holidays.
Strolling down the streets of Greenville.
Hearing the kids scream with joy as they ride the carousel.
Holding your sweetheart's hand while you share a cup of hot cocoa. The 2009 St. Francis Holiday Festival is going on now.
And His Radio, 89.3 and Christian Talk 660 invite you to share in the sounds, the sights, and the memories of the holidays.
Join His Radio 89.3's morning friends, Rob and Kristen, from 5 till 7 this Friday afternoon at the intersection of Coffee and Main Street.
Bring an unwrapped gift for holiday hope to deliver to kids who otherwise wouldn't get a Christmas gift this year.
Hear the live carolers. See the beautifully decorated trees at the Hyatt Regency and Hampton Inn and Suites River Place. Or spend some time as a family in the Holiday Village at Piazza Bergamo.
So much to see and do. Your family will want to come back again and again. The 2009 St. Francis Holiday Festival in downtown Greenville.
A place to make memories that will last forever. For more details, go to hisradio.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. That means you're down to 8 minutes or so to be able to participate in the program if you'd like. I still have Twitter up and running, and also email kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Twitter account is Knowing the Truth. And also you can call on the toll-free number, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Just a quick program note. Tomorrow with me on the broadcast will be Max McLean. If you've never heard Max McLean speak, just listening to him read or speak about something is well worth tuning in for. He's got an amazing voice. He does a number of various productions in New York City, but he's also got a new book out called Unleashing the Word, and it helps. It's designed to help people, help folks in the church who are tasked with the public reading of the Scriptures, how they can do that in a better way. And so we'll be speaking with Max tomorrow during the broadcast. You won't want to miss it. Let's go back to our discussion now with our special guest today. We're speaking with Daniel James Devine from World Magazine. Daniel, since our time is so short, we're not going to be able to go through all of the issues that are out there. I did want to mention to folks that there is a new controversy that's kind of taken place, that there was this leaked document referred to as the Danish text. And basically, you know, a lot of countries are upset by what they see as this draft of what would be signed. And so I'll just leave it just like that for people. They're going to have to go out there and Google that and find it for themselves. But I wanted to ask you, John brought up a really good point. He said, let's talk about this from a Christian worldview perspective, specifically from a creationist viewpoint, you know, that the world was created by God, a young earth viewpoint. Would you answer John's question a little bit and discuss about the idea about the Christian worldview and how viewing this would be different than for us versus people who don't hold to that same view?
Yeah, a lot of the studies of past climates, studies of ice core and tree rings and things like that are based on the whole premise that the Earth is millions of years old. And, of course, when you accept the very literal reading of the Bible, you would conclude that the Earth is much younger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that has huge implications for you if you're a scientist and you're looking at, say, an ice core and analyzing the little air bubbles in there to see how much carbon dioxide that there is and trying to figure out the past temperature of the Earth. It makes a big difference when you have certain assumptions about the age of the Earth starting out. And, you know, the same thing is true for our worldview as Christians. We believe that the Earth was created by God, and we believe that God created the Earth to be inhabited by man and for men to take dominion of the Earth. And that's a huge contrast to someone on the other side who maybe is a little more skeptical of the Earth being intended by God for any specific purpose. If you believe that the Earth has just evolved into existence on its own, of course you may be a little bit frightened and worried about the prospect of the climate changing and what that could mean for humanity on Earth. But as Christians, we have certain promises in the Bible, and one of those actually is found in Genesis 8:22, where God promised Noah that as long as the earth remained, the seasons would also remain, and warming and cooling would also remain.
Mm.
And so we have a very good promise there that, you know, even if the earth's temperature does increase a little bit, God's hand is still in control of the earth, and we can rest in that promise.
Mm.
And so our foundational worldview does affect how we approach this whole global warming issue and whether we get hysterical about it or not.
Amen. You know, when I had Michael Ord on, we talked about one of the famous slides that's in Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. And that slide was said during the DVD that we could see clearly on that slide that when CO2 emissions increased, that the globe began to warm up, that there was an increase in the temperature of the globe. However, according to Michael Ord, when he was with me, he said that they are misreading the data, and what it is actually showing is when the Earth warms up, that there is an increase in CO2 emissions. So it's showing just the opposite. It's not showing that the heating of the Earth is a cause and effect of the CO2 emissions, but it's showing that when the Earth warms up, that CO2 emissions become greater. In other words, you know, that there's more vegetation and these types of things, and so they give off more CO2, and so it actually is exactly the opposite of the way that it was on Al Gore's slide. So I just leave that for people to take it as it is. I mentioned this ClimateGate 101 out on Justin Taylor's blog. Let me just read this. This is an article by Kevin Williamson. It says that he helps to break things down, and he lists the following propositions in ascending order. So as you think about global warming, as you think about this Copenhagen conference that's taking place right now, these are all the propositions that you would have to accept. First of all, that the planet is getting warmer, that the planet is getting warmer and human activity is the reason, that the planet is given warmer, human activity is the main factor, and the consequences will be catastrophic. He then adds to that some UN-style policeman is going to be able to manage the mitigating response. And some of these other aspects here. I'm sorry, we had some sort of audio difficulty there, so I had to lower that down just a little bit. But anyways, he goes through all of these different propositional statements that you would have to accept as being true in order to play a role in what is taking place there in the current climate change summit in Copenhagen. So with that, let me thank our special guest today. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program. We really appreciate your work in writing about this and the overall work of World Magazine.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. We've been listening to a discussion I've been having here with Daniel James Devine. And Daniel is the science correspondent for World Magazine. And again, you can check him out on the web at www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. It would make an excellent Christmas gift for you to give a subscription to one of your family members. All the information is found right out there on that website. Don't forget to join me tomorrow. Remember, I mentioned that Max McLean is going to be with me. We'll be talking about unleashing the word, about how to better your skills at the public reading of God's word. So you won't want to miss that. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio. I'm Christian.